Praise the Lord. It was so good to be here tonight. Amen. How many of you enjoyed last week? Praise the Lord. It's so good to get an understanding of who we are. Amen. You know, I remember, growing up, you know, like Sean mentioned last week, you know, I come from a minister's home and my parents are ministers and all that, but I did not have even the slightest idea about spirit, soul, and body growing up. I mean, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I didn't know anything. And you know what? It's just awful. It's an awful thing when you don't know anything. You love Jesus, but you're so blind to what you have in Christ. Amen? And I think this is such an awesome privilege we have to just get into the Word of God and just have this understanding of what we have in Christ and how he views us. Amen? It's just a horrible thing when we have a wrong concept of who Jesus is. We miss out. We miss out on all that he is and wants to be in our life. Amen? And anyway, enough of that. I just want to go through a quick review of what we did last week. Amen? And we so easily forget, don't we? And it says this is a teaching spirit, soul, and body that we have been in for over 20 years. And every time we get back into it, it's just like, wow, you know? It's something new again that you missed before or you have forgotten. You're like, wow, I know this is a revelation that, man, you know, I need to get back into. So we always need to remind ourselves of what is going on in the Word of God. So this, the main scripture we went to last week was in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we talk about that we have a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. We can feel the body, right? What we can see on the outside, right? Your soul can be touched. You know, someone says something hurtful to you, touch you with your words, your emotions can be touched. But your spirit, right? You can't feel your spirit. It's there, right? But how can you feel it? Your spirit cannot be touched. So what is your soul? Just to recap a little bit, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, right? Your feelings, your thoughts, right? Your body, as I mentioned before, is what we see on the outside. But what is our spirit? Our spirit is the real us. It's who we are. Right? Our innermost part. And if you're born again, like it said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation. A new, brand new creation. I remember growing up quoting that scripture for us. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. But I didn't have a clue. What does it mean to be a new creation? I just knew the scripture verse. How many of you with me there? We know the verse, right? But we don't know what in the world it means. It actually means that we are a new creation, like Sean mentioned last week. We weren't just an old barn painted with a brand coat of paint. We were something brand new, a new creation, right? It's where we underwent a complete transformation. In our spirit man, we're perfect and complete as it will ever be. There's nothing left to be done in our spirit man. Jesus himself lives on the inside of us. Amen. How many of you know that's good news? Amen. You know, I knew Jesus lived. You know, growing up, it was when he asked, where does Jesus live? He lives inside of me, but I didn't know what did that mean. That Jesus himself lives on the inside of me. But however, our spirit can't be accessed in any natural way. Right? We can't go, you know, if you, you know, can relate to this, there's sometimes we don't feel born again, but can we go by that? No, we can't go by our feelings, how we feel from one day to the next. Our emotions will lie to us. Amen? So we can access our spirit in the natural. There's no direct connection between the spirit and the flesh, right? It can be accessed by emotions, right? And your physical body can access your spirit man, right? Are you getting me? You're not confused, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the only way we can perceive what's in our spirit is through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. Right? John 6:63 says, it's the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Therefore, to see who we really are in the spirit man, we need to look into the mirror of God's word, right? We've been here, you need to look into the mirror. If you really want to know how you look like, you can't get away from it. Right? We can't live this Christian life with blinders on. But how many of us want to know that's what people want to do, right? They don't want to get into the word of God, right? Let's be honest, right? But if we want to know who we are in Christ, we have to look into the mirror of God's word. And it's amazing how many people in the natural, we don't want to leave the house without looking into the mirror, the natural mirror, right? We want to make sure our hair is in place. We make sure our clothes looks good, right? But something that's the most important in our life, the word of God, we don't want to look into the word of God, which is vital. Right? The word of God calls it our daily bread. It's essential for us to survive the word of God. But there are many of us that go days and days without looking into the mirror of God's word. Right? And we so easily forget who we are. So we must look into the mirror of God's word. Let's go to James chapter 1 real quick and refresh ourselves and remind ourselves of what the word says there. I'm not trying to reteach last week. I'm just going to go through this really quickly. But James 1, chapter 1, verse 23, he says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if we want to walk in who we really are, we must look into God's word. We must look into the mirror of God's word. So how do we get the life of God as now spirit man to be manifested in the physical? Since there's no direct access between the two. Well, everything that comes out of your spirit must go through your mental, emotional part, or your soul, right? I remember Sean touched on that the soul is like a valve, right? If you want what's in the spirit man to flow and be manifest on the outside, you have to turn the valve on, right? Just like if you have a faucet, you know, you want water to flow, you got to turn the valve. Right? And when the soul, your mind, will, and emotions comes in line what the Spirit is saying, the power and the life of God flows in your life. Amen. On the other hand, if we live more in tune to what's going on all around us, if we're more in tune with what the world is saying, right? Or what our body is speaking to us, we cut off. The valve is not turning, right? Life of it's stuck. It's more in tune with what is going on out here. Therefore, the life of God is not going to flow in your life. Amen. And to the degree you open the soul or the valve is the rate of which the spiritual life flows into your life. You understand what I'm saying? Right? If you turn on, you know, just like a faucet, you turn on a little drip comes out. You turn on full force, more flows out. It's all dependent on you. Right? So if we want the life of God to flow in our life, we must renew our mind. We must renew our mind. But what's so sad is that there's a lot of Christians, they live their life where they're more in tune, right? Their soul and their body is more in agreement than their soul and their spirit. And you know, as we, like Sean mentioned, we've traveled all over the world and we've had the opportunity to teach in Bible schools and or even new believers classes. And this is a state we meet a lot of believers in. Frustration. You know, they love Jesus. Right? They heard they're a new creation in Christ Jesus. They're brand new, right? But they're frustrated. Right? They hear all the promises preached in the Word of God, right? But they're more in tune what they see out here. That's what's in their spirit man. Right, and they're not seeing the life of God flow in their life. How many? I mean, I can attest to this. Growing up, you hear all the promises. I don't want to get ahead of myself, But you see, you hear about all this power that's available to us, but you're seeing none of it in your life. Right? And you don't quite get it, you don't quite understand. The reason is because if we're honest with ourselves, we're more in tune by what we feel. We're more in tune to our five senses, what we feel, what we hear, right? And if we want the life of God to flow in our life, we must be in tune with our spirit man. Amen. And I like to say this, you know, it's not going to happen by just someone laying hands on you. We have to get into God's word. We personally have to look into the mirror of God's word for ourselves and get that revelation of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. Amen. Sometimes I just sit there and I think about, wow, just think about it. The creator of the universe, the great I am, he lives inside of me. Think about that. I am his. And he lives on the inside of me. And I walk around every day when I get up. And I walk around everywhere I go. He's going with me. Amen. But how many of you know if we're so in tune with our five senses and our emotions, we don't even think about that? Amen. But how about when we start thinking about that? Wow. Wow. The power of God starts to flow in our life. Amen. We see things differently when we start meditating more on who Christ is in us. Right? And I'm getting ahead of myself. So we're getting into lesson 4. I was just doing my little preview and we're getting to lesson 4. So we see a lot of people, they're more dominated by what they can see, taste, hear, and smell and feel instead of God's word. As a result, the life of God within them stays turned off because they are more in tune with their flesh or their five senses. They don't believe anything they can't see, so to speak. Right? What they see, what they feel, that's reality. Right? That's reality. You know, I remember counseling someone quite a number of few years ago when we were in Russia. Well, she was a friend. Okay, she's listening. I want to name names. But she was going through a hard time. Like everybody else, you know, people have hard times in their life. And I was trying to counsel her and give her a word of encouragement. She was our interpreter, you know, and this very same thing here that we're teaching, she was interpreting for us in one of the Bible schools. And I was trying to encourage her. I said, you know, I know what you're going through is a very hard, hard thing. But let's look into the word of God. Let's see what God's word is saying about your situation. And her attitude was, well, I hear what you're saying, but the reality is this is my situation right here. It's never going to change. There's no hope. And that's the way a lot of people, a lot of Christians see their life. They separate, they compartmentalize the word of God, and this is my life here. Like there's two different realities. But how will you know the word of God is the absolute reality, is the truth? Amen, that we need to look into. Amen. We need to look and say, you know what? Yes, all those things are happening out here, but God, your word is greater. Amen. No, in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we're supposed to live by faith and not by sight. But the sad truth is, a lot of Christians are living more by their sight, right? We're living more by what we see. That's why we find so many of us are in fear, right? When we listen to the news, we're in fear. What's going to happen to us? Am I going to die by who gets elected? How many of you know who? It doesn't matter who gets elected. We serve a living God. Amen? We serve Jesus. He is our Savior. No man is our Savior, right? We don't have anything to fear. But as we continue to view what we see and what by our natural eyes as the reality, we're not going to walk in victory. Most Christians believe that God is great and can do anything, but experience very little of the power in their lives. And the reason is because they don't understand the change that took place in their born-again spirit. Amen. If you talk to any Christian, you believe, you ask them their opinion on God. So, yeah, he's great. Amen. And you probably can quote a few scripture verses like I used to. No, I remember when I was in college. This is very funny, though. I was in college, you know, and I mean, like I told you, you know, I love Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home. I can quote the scripture verses, you know. And my roommate, she said, Lisa, can you tell me what faith is? I said, well, I'm feeling all spiritual and all that, you know. I said, well, faith. Faith is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I just give her the whole scripture verse. And all of a sudden, I felt so good about myself, you know. And then by the time I met Sean, and we're going off to Bible school, and you know what? The enemy doesn't want you to be where God wants you to go, right? All hell is breaking loose, and I'm crying like a baby. Because all I knew was to quote a verse, right? I knew scripture verses, but I didn't have an understanding of who Christ was inside of me, the faithful one. You understanding what I'm saying? So there's a difference with having to quote a scripture verse and actually know who lives on the inside of me. That who is on my side, the one that's fighting for me. Amen? The one that's going to keep me. The one that called me there will be faithful. And you know what? That's exactly what happened when we went to Bible school. I want to share a long testimony, but pastor said that, you know, he didn't know who Andrew was when he first met him. Well, when we were going to Bible school, we never heard one sermon from Andrew Womack until our first day of Bible school. Okay, we were engaged, you know, and here we are going to Colorado. And I remember as we were in our U-Haul truck driving into Colorado, Sean and I looked at each other and like, are we crazy? Because we didn't have jobs. We didn't know anybody. And this was a brand new Bible school. For all you know, we were joining a cult or something. We didn't know, you know. And when we went there, we know after listening, we knew where we were supposed to be, in the right place. But you know what? We had financial difficulties, hard time finding a job, or the so-called realities, right? And you know, just to give you a quick side note, when we started off in our class, we had 60 students. And by the time we graduated, there was only 17 of us, right? Because a lot of people, you know, God, you know, called them, but their reality, what they saw with their eyes, scared them. You know, but we had made a decision. God said to come here. It didn't matter that we sometimes didn't have any food to eat. God told us to come here, and he's faithful. And you know what? We're still here. We didn't die. He's faithful. Amen? So a lot of Christians, you know, yeah, they know God's big, but they don't realize who they are in Christ or what they have in Christ. And the Colossians 2:9 says, let's go there real quick. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him there's all the fullness. Amen? And in John chapter 1, let's go reading from verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh. And I like this part. He was full of grace and truth. And then go down to verse 16 and says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And what is that fullness? Like we read in verse 14, full of grace and truth. Jesus, everything that he is. Amen. Jesus is truth. Jesus himself, his name is grace. That ability, that power, that unmerited favor, that's Jesus. And he lives on the inside of us. Amen? He's on the inside of us. That's what we carry around, that truth. But if we don't realize that, we're carrying truth on the inside of that fullness on the inside of us. We know we walk around blindly. Right? That's why we need to know what's in the Word of God. The Word says, the new covenant believer, the born-again believer, have received his fullness. Amen. His fullness, everything that he is. But if we don't know this, you know, like it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Right? We know that scripture verses, right? All the promises are in him. And where does he live? in us. We already have all the promises alive and working on the inside of us. It's not something that we're trying to get out here. It's already in here. Amen. Ephesians 1:3 says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Nothing left to be added. Everything. Every spiritual blessing is already on the inside of us. Ephesians 1:6 says he has accepted us in the beloved. We're accepted in Christ. The word accepted also means highly favored. That's our position in Christ. Amen? But all these scriptures will be just mere words on a page unless you renew your mind. We must renew our mind to what God says as the greater truth in our lives. We must renew our mind. We can't get away from it. Right? If we want to walk in that fullness that we already have in Christ Jesus, we must get our minds in line with what he says about us. Amen. Like it says in Amos 3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? I don't know about you, but I want to walk in agreement with Jesus and what he says about me. I don't know about you, but I want that power that's on the inside of me not to stay lying there, dormant. I want it to flow in my life. And how many of you know it's not just about us and our life? There's other people around us that we need to touch. Amen? There's so many people around us that are dying every day without Christ. Right? And we look just like them without that power flowing in our lives. We don't need to look just like them. When they look at us, they need to see hope. Amen? You need to see someone walking in victory. You need to see someone with a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. That's why we need to renew our mind. So renewing our mind is to simply come into agreement with what God's word, come into agreement with God's word as the absolute truth. We need to come into agreement as God's word is the absolute truth in our life. No matter what the doctor says, what God's word says is the only truth. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So if we want to walk in victory, we must humble ourselves and say, God, it's not my way. Your way. It's not what I say or what the world say or what the doctor says, what you say, God. Amen? And Lord, I'm going to get my mind in line with what you're saying about me. Amen? Because that's where life flows when I receive your word into my life. So we must come in agreement with the absolute truth of God's word. What is the truth? The truth is that we are joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs. Even something about that? We're joint heirs with Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, he has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. You know all the healing that you're waiting for to manifest itself on the outside? You already have it on the inside? Yep. We're not praying to get something from out there. You have all the healing that you need in your spirit man already. You know, all the breakthroughs we are praying for finances or whatever, it's all in here. Because the word says he has already blessed you, blessed, past tense, with every spiritual blessing. He's already given you everything already. Giving you everything that pertains to life and godliness. So how do we tap into that? We have to renew our mind. Right? Just like with me, right? To know what faith was, I had to renew my mind. Get into God's word. What is faith? Get into the word of God. Look at the life of Abraham. That's faith. Right? No matter what was going on, no matter if the situation looks contrary, the reality is that Sarah's womb was dead. Right? She was 90 years old, right? In the natural, I mean, we said, well, sorry, there's no hope for you, right? What did the word say? He did not consider it. He only considered what God's word said, what God said about him. Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars. That's all he considered. And think about it. What happened? The promised child came because he did not consider anything except what God's word said, what God said about him, that promise. And same thing with us, the same principle. If we want to walk out in what we have in Christ Jesus, we must only consider what his word says about us. Amen? That's powerful. That's the key. Sometimes we don't want to hear that, right? We want something quick. Can you just wrap that and give it to me? Lay hands on me. Nothing is wrong with having someone pray for you and come in agreement what you're believing for. But we have to look into the word for ourselves. Me, to renew my mind and bring it in line with God's word saying about me. Amen. Remember, like I just mentioned, God's given us everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. We're not trying to get something from God. Right? Colossians 2:10 says we're complete in him. Complete. I didn't think so growing up. I used to beg God all the time for all sorts of things. God, please. Don't you love me, God? Sounds familiar? A lot of us have been there. You're always begging God for something. God, bless me. God, I want more love. God, give me more peace. Give me more joy. But how many of you know the Prince of Peace lives on the inside of you? You don't need more peace. We just need to renew our mind and tap into what we already have in Christ Jesus. We don't need more love. How many know love himself lives on the inside of us? Right? We need to start thinking about and get our minds in, Lord, how much you love me. While I was unlovely, you died for me. That's love. Right? And you start meditating on that and renewing your mind. Right? Remember the fruit of the Spirit? We all sing the songs about the fruit of the Spirit and we name all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, And we think it's something out there that we have to attain to. But all the every fruit of the part of it is on the inside of us. Right? That's why he says in his word in John 15, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Right? What is abiding? It's same renewing your mind. As you renew your mind, you're spending time in his presence. That's abiding. Amen. When you abide in him, you come into the revelation of who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. And all those attributes flow in your life. Love, joy, peace. And the word says in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Right? Because you've been spending time in his word, in his presence. You've been just abiding and loving on him. Joy flows. And that's coming from out there. It's coming from in here. Because you already have joy on the inside of you. Amen. So we have everything in us. We don't need to beg God for anything. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Hebrews 4 and verse 1 says, Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, does any of you seem to have come short of it? For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Order the works will finish from the foundation of the world. So here in verse 3, it says the works have been finished since the foundation. Everything is already done. But what happens to a lot of us is that the word, right, that we're hearing is not profiting anything to us because it's not being mixed with faith, right? So we're hearing the word, of God, but it's not mixed with faith. You know how many times you've seen someone that's been in church for decades and they're still the same? Right? They can even preach to you a little sermon if they want to. But yet their life, there's no transformation in their life. There's no victory in their life. Because it's not mixed with faith. And what is faith? Right? Faith is rooted in the love of God. Faith works by love, like it says in Galatians 5:6. So it says, neither circumcision or circumcision avails anything but faith working by love. So it's not based on anything that we do. Faith works by having a revelation of love, Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith works when you have a revelation of how much God loves you. Faith operates when you have a revelation of Christ has already done the work, that the work is finished. Amen. There's nothing to be added. It's not by our performance, but it's by His grace. Amen. That you don't have to beg Him for anything. You don't have to get on the treadmill of performance and try to show God and prove to God that you're good enough. You understand what I'm saying? Faith works by love. So we could be hearing and hearing and hearing, but if we don't have a revelation of His love for us, the works that have been already been completed since the foundation of the world is not going to flow in our life. Amen. Everything that He's given us is not going to be manifested in our bodies because we still don't think He loves us. We doubt that He loves us. Every time we get depressed and discouraged, we're doubting His love for us. Yeah. Every time we're fearful or worried, we're doubting His love for us. We're doubting that He's actually, that promise that He says is ours, is actually going to happen. But how many of you know His word said God is not a man that He should lie? It says that in Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. He does not lie. No. Right? His word says in Psalm 89, it says He does not alter the word that comes out of His lips. He doesn't break covenant with us. So all these verses that we're speaking to you, that He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He says, I've done it. I've kept my word. But it's our part to believe it. Amen. And draw it out from the inside of us. And that comes when we renew our mind. And it says in verse 10, the same chapter of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Amen. So we enter that rest saying, praise God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if all hell is breaking loose all around me. It doesn't matter. Praise God. My Redeemer says it's going to be okay. Amen. Amen. He has my back. That's entering His rest. When you understand the one who loves you. And that's the key. We must know that He loves us. Have a revelation of His love. Let's go to Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. Well, in the outline, it's in the King James Version. So I'll read in the King James Version. And it says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So that word communication means that let's put it in this way, that the release of your faith become effective, right? Your faith is released and it's become effective when we acknowledge every good thing that's in us. Our faith as it flows, so to speak. When we come into agreement, we acknowledge this is who I am in Christ. I am the head and not the tail. Amen. I am above and not beneath. I am not a failure. Amen. I'm accepted. Amen. God is mindful of me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. I'm acknowledging who I am in Christ Jesus. That is my position. Amen. God doesn't love one more than me. We're all of His children. There's no respecter of persons in God's kingdom. Amen. That's acknowledgement. And when I acknowledge that, God, thank you, Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's my position. I'm righteous because He is righteous. Amen. And because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know, when financial oppositions come my way, I can say, like it says in Psalm 37, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. Are we righteous? will never be forsaken. He's for us. He'll always take care of us. His word goes and say in many places that we will never be put to shame. That's what God says about us. That's acknowledging who I am in Christ. That's my position in Christ. That God will never leave me or forsake me, no matter what it looks like. Amen. No matter if I am the one that made a mistake, His word says He is faithful, even when we are faithless. Think about that. It's a hard thing to swallow, huh? That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves me. Right? And our faith becomes effective in our life when we say, yes, devil, get out of here. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. You leave. Get out of here. Right? So if we want our faith to become effectual in our life, we need to acknowledge what's inside of us. Now, in Ephesians 1:18 says that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. That's what Paul was saying, praying for the church in Ephesus. You know, before that, before he started praying this prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, is before when he was telling them, hey, God's blessed you with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and he's telling you, you're accepted and beloved, and he goes on to pray for them, that they'll have a revelation of that's their position in Christ. Amen? So we have to have our eyes open, the eyes of understanding enlightened. You know, in the Amplified, it says it's like this, that the eyes of your heart be enlightened or be open. You know, your heart and is the seat of your emotions, right? Your heart, the seat of your emotions, is where your thought processes, everything happens. That it becomes enlightened and open, that you get this revelation to what you have in Christ. So doubt is eliminated from your life when you have this revelation that you have already got it. There's no place for double-mindedness. Amen. There's no place for double-mindedness when you have this revelation that God's given you everything that you need. You know why we're double-minded? Because we're not sure. Right? Today, you know, it's like, you know, you see those romance movies, you know, maybe he loves me not. And that's how we live this Christian life with God, huh? From one day to the next, depending on how we feel, right? But when we get a revelation of how much God loves us and what we have in Christ, there's no place for doubt. We know it's not dependent on our feelings or what we see. It's only dependent on what the work that Christ has done in our life. Amen. Amen. So when the bank accounts read zero, we know, you know what? I'm not going to be moved. My God says He's going to take care of me. It might look like the end, but it's not the end. Amen. He loves me. He says He will never forsake me. I can look to Him. He's my deliverer, the word says. Right? But if we're not sure of His love for us, when a doctor comes and gives us this very bad report, we're going to freak out. Right? We're going to believe the lies of the enemy. See, you're going to die. But when we have a revelation, if our eyes are opened, I am healed. His word says, by His stripes, I was healed. Was. We're not waiting for it to happen. Was. It's already a done deal. That healing is already on inside of you. Oh, we got to just tap into it. Take our authority and say, devil, you get out of here. The word says, by His stripes, I was healed. Jesus has said, I'm healed. No plague can come nigh my dwelling. Amen. So I don't care, buddy, what you're screaming to me. I live by the Spirit. This is who I am in Christ. This is the real me. This is the truth. Amen. But if we don't know that, one day we're going to be happy. Next day we're going to be sad. And we're going to be up and down. The word says that double-minded man is unstable. And you're not going to receive, right? I want to misquote that verse. Let me go back there real quick. In James chapter 1, it says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And it says, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Well, you know what? God's already given, right? We've already established that. He's already given us everything. This receiving has to do with us tapping in to what we already have in Christ Jesus. We're not going to walk in what Christ says is already ours if we're one day we're full of faith, next day we're full of doubt. No. When we read the story of Abraham, right? The word said he didn't consider, he did not waver. He did not waver. You find that in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He didn't waver. But a lot of times we're wavering, right? So we need to renew our mind to what the word is saying about us. There's nothing more that we need. We don't need more faith. The word says he's already given us the measure of faith. We have all the faith that we need on the inside of us. We don't need more anointing. We already have the anointing on the inside of the Holy Spirit. We don't need more. We have all that we have. There's no more to be added. Let's put it that way. All right? We don't need the double anointing or double portion or whatever that it says that it says in the Old Testament. We're in the New Covenant. The Word says he's given us everything that we need. We're complete already. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we think, oh, maybe if I get some more of that over there, then everything will be okay. The truth is we already have everything on the inside of us. We just need to renew our mind. In Romans 12, 1, 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. All right, let's turn there real quick. Romans 12. And verse 1 said, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want transformation in your life, you must renew your mind. Amen. So let's talk about this verse a little bit. What does it mean to be conformed? That word conform means to be poured into the mold of something, right? In this world, we can't avoid being melted. You know, in John chapter 16, verse 33 says, Jesus, in this world, you have many persecution, right? Things will always come against you in this world. Always things coming against us, right? But we have to choose which mold we'll be poured into. It determines victory or defeat. Amen. You know, in that verse, it says in John 16, 33, it says, in this world you have many persecution, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus is saying. Be of good cheer. Get happy. Get excited. Right? This is who I am on the inside of you. Right? So it depends on us. What are we going to choose? It depends on if our minds are renewed. Right? If our minds are renewed, say, yes, the greater one lives on inside of me. And nothing is too great for my God. Victory. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. Amen. But if we're not renewed, our minds are not renewed, and we're not thinking in line with God's word, we're going to say, oh, hopeless. I'm doomed. Right? I'm going to die. Defeat. So we can choose what mold, which mold we're being poured into. Amen. That word transform. It's just like gives a picture of metamorphosis, like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, right? That would transform. So your mind, your thoughts, and attitude is key in the transformation process. It determines the victory or defeat in your life. Your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, amen? In Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember I mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding are the eyes of your heart. What's your heart? Your soul. Right? How you think. So however you think, that's the way your life is going to go. Amen. As a man thinks in his heart. See, whatever we're facing today, not to bring condemnation, but let's be honest with ourselves. Is what you've been thinking, right? If you've been thinking defeat, depression, woe is me, whatever, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're thinking, no, I'm a child of the King. Amen. I am not cursed. He took upon himself all my curses. Amen. It doesn't matter what my family background I came from. Amen. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm in a new family. Amen. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we have to renew our mind to the word of God. It'll bring transformation. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on the word day and night. Right? Meditate on the word day and night. Let's read that verse because I love that verse. Okay? Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That's just talking about renewing your mind, getting to the word of God, looking to the mirror of God's word, right? That you may observe to do it according to all that is written in it, right? For then you will make your way prosperous. Amen? It's talking about as you get into God's word and you start thinking upon, saying, this is who I am, meditating on it. It flows in your life. That's the way your thoughts will go. Amen. Your emotions will line up with the word of God. When that spirit of depression comes, say, no, I will not embrace that. I'll get my mind on things of God. It doesn't matter who says what about me. Thank you, Jesus. You love me with an everlasting love. Amen. And that comes as we meditate on God's word. And that's making your way prosperous. Amen. But what's prosperity? Not just money. It's working in peace. Amen. It's working in joy. That's prosperity. That's making your way prosperous. And that comes from meditating on the word. Amen. I love that verse. I said, praise God. I'm going to make my way prosperous. I'm going to get into your word, God. And you know what? As we get into God's word, we start speaking it. Because this word shall depart from our mouth. Right? And that's a different message right there. Right? Meditating on the word of God. Right? In Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 said, you'll be planted. Right? His delight is in the word and you should be planted. Right? When your delight is in the word of God, you're going to be planted. Nothing's going to move you. No matter what wind comes, what storm comes, you're going to remain planted. Because your delight is in his word. And it's in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Amen. So we need to be in God's word. Right? We want our faith to be effective in our life. So we need to acknowledge every good thing that's in us. And the word says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Right? We must be hearing the word of God. We must be in the word of God. And I keep saying over and over because it's the word of God. We need the word of God in our lives. We need to renew our mind, right? Ephesians 6:17 says, the sword of the spirit, the word of God. How many of you know we can't defeat the enemy apart from the sword? The word of God, right? Because if we don't know the word of God, if we don't know what the word says about us, we're going to embrace every lie from the enemy. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. It says, casting down every high imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, how are we going to know what's of God and what's not if we're not in the word of God? Right? We need to be in the word of God. So when the enemy whispers his lies and says, you're not going to make it, we get a laugh in his face. Saying, no, you liar. You liar. God says it, said already. Right, the work is finished. I'm victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. You're a liar. I am not a failure, no matter what my teacher said about me growing up. Amen. No matter what abusive person said to me in whatever past relationship, that's not who I am. You're a liar. I'm going to live by what God says about me.